Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again. And you know what? I'm excited to death about the program. Excited about the message God has laid on my heart. Excited about the song Debbie's going to do for us, friend. I'll tell you, I'm just excited to be here. And I want you to get ready. That's what Debbie's going to sing about. I want you to get ready for the coming of Christ, friend. Listen, if you don't know for sure when you die that you'd go to heaven, if your name's not recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, I'll tell you, I want you to get ready today. I'm going to be looking at the book of 2 Timothy 2, 2 Peter 2, and the book of Jude for my message today. And just as soon as Debbie does her song, the title of it again is Get Ready. I'll meet you back there in these books, and I'll share this message that God has put on my heart. Oh, friend, listen, the worst is yet to come. And I'll tell you about that, what that means to some degree, in just a moment. I'll be back when Deb gets done with this song.
Get ready for the trumpet. Get ready for the sound. When Jesus calls us, we'll not be around. Now it could be tomorrow, but it could be today. So get ready for the trumpet.
Call us to our long home, and you best be ready. You best be ready, sir, ma'am. You best be ready to answer that call. The writer said, and it was Job, thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Listen, there's a lot of things we can turn down. There's a lot of things that we can say no to, but I'll tell you, when it comes time for me and you to die, comes time for me and you to stand before God in judgment, we'll say yes. We absolutely will, friend. We will say yes. Well, I'm excited that you have tuned in and excited about the message God has laid on my heart for this program today. I'm going to read out of three different passages of Scripture. I don't do that very often, but when I feel led to, I do. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Word of God says this in verse 13, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, the Bible said, a deceiving and being deceived. In the book of 2 Peter, chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3 says this, "But there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who shall privately bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious or destructive ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned or false words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now the long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." Jude, only one chapter in Jude, 25 verses, and I'm going to read verse 4. "For there are certain men, listen to this, certain men crept in unawares, who before of old were ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." I'm going to talk to you today for just a little while. Now, I'll probably not really touch the message. I'll just kind of get the highlights of what God has pointed me to and what the Spirit of God has stirred my spirit to. But I trust there'll be enough, bless God, to cause the fear of God to rise up in your heart if you're lost and undone. I hope that it's enough to cause the Spirit of God to use these words to create that thing that's necessary for salvation, and that is old time conviction of your sin, sir. Ma'am, I want you to know, listen, friend, I want you to know that regardless of how good it may seem today, and oh, I'll tell you, it's black. Do you hear me? In a lot of ways, it's dark. It's not real good, friend, spiritually speaking. I know the economy is thriving, but oh, look, friend, listen. These temporal things will pass away someday. My, that's the things that we can't see that are the eternal thing. So we need to get ready. We need to get ready. Friend, listen, it's getting worse and worse, I believe, just by day, and moment by moment. And I want you to know the worst is yet to come. You know, I often say to our people down at church where I have the privilege of pastoring that the best is yet to come. Every time that I had a part in a church group in Israel, from place to place and from day to day, I'd tell them the best is yet to come. Didn't matter how good it was that day. Didn't matter how excited that we got and how much God blessed us at certain sites that we visited. As we visited, the Word of God and the Spirit of God worked in us, I'd tell them that's good, but the best is yet to come. Now, I want you to know this. I'm not a pessimist. I mean to tell you, I'm not a pessimist. I just told you, I'm often heard saying the best is yet to come. But I'll tell you what I am. I'm a biblicist. I'm a realist. Do you hear me? I'm a watchman, thank God. And if I know anything about the Word of God, my text in this message is more true than many people I would imagine. More true than many people would want to admit. But I want to tell you, sir, ma'am, we're currently, I believe, according to the Word of God, we're currently, I believe, according to the world and what's going on therein and what is not going on therein. I believe we're currently living in the last days of the last days. You say, preacher, why'd you say it that way? Well, the last days began when Jesus died at Calvary and resurrected. The last days have been around a long time. But I'll tell you what, according to the Word of God, according to the prophecies of the Word of God, according to the clear presentation of truths that identify the last days, we're living in the last days of the last days. We're living, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, in perilous times. We're living in days, friend, with men will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears and shall shall be turned from the truth unto fables. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verses 3 and 4 tell us there. We're living in that day, bless God, when the apostasy, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, maybe it is verse 3, 4, or 5, sets in. Oh, friend, we're living in that day of the Laodicean church age, when men would say that we're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, when in reality they're poor and naked and wretched and blind. They've got Christ on the outside knocking to want to get in on the inside. They've replaced a Christ-centered church and worship with a man-centered church and worship. I'm telling you, friend, look, just open your eyes. Read the Word of God. Take it for what it says and see what you can see. I believe we're currently, again, I've said it, and I'm going to say it again, living in the last days of the last days. I believe evidence is abundant. I believe evidence is undeniable. And I believe, listen, friend, again, these truths can be established with those few scriptures that I just mentioned. Oh, let me give you some things again as I've gotten to go back over them again in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, when Paul introduced that chapter with the fact that perilous times or fierce times actually is what it is. Hard to be controlled times would set in, and he under the inspiration of the Spirit of God begins to list 18 or 19 characteristics of the last days. Well, the one that always stands out to me, well, it's two actually, is verse 5. Paul said that in these last days of the apostasy, these last days of the last days, bless God, he said that men would have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof, the power there, they would, let me get it right, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And he said, from such, turn away. He said in verse 7, that they would be ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I'm telling you, folks, we're in that day. We're absolutely in that day. According to the book of 2 Peter chapter 2 that I read from in your hearing, that men would make merchandise of men. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of spiritual charlatans on TV. All they want to do, friend, listen, is fill their coffers with your money. They're making merchandise. They're merchants, friend. They may be appearing to be one thing, but God knows in their heart they're totally something else. And Peter goes on in his second epistle and says that in the last days there should be scoffers walking after their own lusts, saying, where is the promise of His coming? And Jude, only one chapter there, his message is so obvious, his theme is so obvious that even I can get it. I want you to know, friend, that it's of apostasy. It's about that great falling away, about those who would rise up in this latter day. 2 Thessalonians, all three chapters, chapter 1, 2, and 3, tells us about the apostasy, tells us about the end day. But let me emphasize something in chapter 2. He said in verse 3, he said, let no man deceive you by any means. Now watch this right here. Please watch this. For that day, speaking of the day of the Lord, shall not come except there come falling away first. You know what that phrase means? He said, listen, the day of Christ, not the day of Christ, but the day of the Lord, will not come unless there first come a falling away and apostasy. In fact, he said the apostasy. He's talking about an apostasy. He's talking about a falling away like never before. Listen, friend, I'm afraid in this day and hour of come as you are and leave as you come, of this last day of men thinking and propagating that any Bible version that you want to choose is just as good as another. Bless God, you come in into many churches and it's like going to a rock concert. It's like going to a nightclub. Bless God, I'm telling you, friend, listen, we're in trouble and people don't even know it. Paul said this, apostasy would precede the second coming of Christ. It would precede the rapture of the church that he spoke of in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Listen, folks, we're in those days. We're in those days. That one-of-a-kind day, that falling away day, that apostasy that we see in the Laodicean church recorded about in the book of Revelation beginning at verse 14 of chapter 3. That church that's got Jesus Christ on the outside, that church, bless God, listen, they're rich. There's never been a time when we've got more money in our coffers and less spirit in our soul. Oh, I'll tell you, friend, listen, it's just like a man said one time to a, I don't know if it was a king or a pope that said, my, listen, we've never had, he said, we've never, how did he say it? He said something about, it was about money, but the man responded and said, yeah, neither can we say rise up and walk either. Well, believe it or not, friend, the church that Jesus purchased with His blood, empowered by His Spirit, is salt and it's light. And listen, once she's removed from planet Earth, literally hell's going to be turned loose. Now listen, I don't know about you, I don't want to be here. I don't want you to be here. I want you to trust Christ. I want you to run to Him today because I'm telling you, the worst is yet to come. The worst is yet to come. I'm not talking about economically. I'm not talking about socially. And I believe those things are going to go south too. But right now it looks pretty good. But I'll tell you what, spiritually, friend, listen. Spiritually, we're on dangerous ground. I believe the next prophetic event on the calendar of Almighty God is the rapture of the church, the snatching away of the redeemed. Those that know Christ as their Savior are going to be taken away from here. And then, according to Matthew 24:21, that great tribulation will set in. According to Jeremiah 36:7, that time of Jacob's trouble will have arrived. According to the book of Daniel chapter 9, his 70th week prophecy, that will kick in gear. And no doubt, friend, listen, there's going to be a time of transition, a period between the snatching away of the church and the setting up of that kingdom. But I'm going to tell you this, friend. I'm going to tell you this. The worst is yet to come. The worst is yet to come. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, the Bible said, for the mystery of iniquity doth now work. Now listen, it's already in place, already moving. Oh, it doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And he's talking about the church. He's talking about the spirit that is housed or indwelled or where it's indwelt by the church. I'm not talking about the building, but I'm talking about the people that go to the building. And you know what, friend, listen. When it goes up, the Spirit of God will return back to the way He was in the Old Testament. He'll still work. He'll still save people. But I'll tell you what, the salt that preserves and the light that reveals will be gone, spiritually speaking. And I'm telling you, friend, listen, the Antichrist will step on the scene. That man of sin, that man of perdition, oh, he'll manifest himself because it says in verse 8, and then shall that wicked one of 2 Thessalonians 2, then shall that wicked be revealed whom the Lord one day after that will consume. I'm going to tell you, friend, listen, this time can be identified with 7 years of tribulation. The Antichrist will be identified when he signs that 7-year contract of peace with the nation of Israel. And he'll be manifested manifest to be how truly what He is in the middle of that 7-year period of time, the middle of the tribulation, when He breaks the covenant with Israel. Oh, listen, friend, listen. This man, the Antichrist that's going to come. There are a lot of Antichrists now. Anybody that's against Christ, do you hear me? Anybody, hey, the Muslims are Antichrist. I believe that any man, friend, from the president to the pauper, that is against Christ is Antichrist, but he's not the Antichrist. Now listen, according to the Word of God, according to the Word of God, which is our final authority, according to the Word of God, which is the only rule of faith and practice, according to the Word of God, great judgments are coming on planet Earth. If you look in your book called the Bible, in Revelation chapter 6, you'll see the beginning of the opening of the seven sealed judgments. In verse 8, you'll see a quarter of the world population killed. There's going to be war. There's going to be famine. There's going to be death. There's going to be fear. There's going to be an unleashing of the wrath of the Lamb of God. In chapter 8, you'll see the seventh seal open, and it reveals seven trumpet judgments. They'll bring in the three woes of the Revelation. It'll be a time when men are so tortured, according to verses 5 and 6, by some strange creatures, that they'll want to die, and death will flee from them. I believe they'll try to commit suicide, and it won't work. And according to verse 18 of chapter 9 of the book of Revelation, an additional one-third of the world population will be killed. Isn't that amazing? That'll be a reduction of the 8 billion people to 4 billion. Isn't that amazing? In Revelation 11 and 12, we'll see the second and third woe fulfilled. In Revelation 12, the third woe is Satan being cast down after there was war in heaven with Mike on his archangels and the old dragon. He was cast down to the earth, and the angel cried and said, "Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for the accuser of the brother has come down, and he knoweth he had but a short time." It'll be in chapter 13. We find that Satan claims to be God. He'll break the covenant with Israel. He'll set himself up in the temple, that third temple that's yet to be rebuilt. Sorry, Muslim world, but it's going to be built on Mount Moriah. Bless God, he'll declare himself to be God. And I want you to know, all hell's going to break loose on planet Earth. I want you to know, friend, listen, that when Satan claims to be God, sets up an image in the temple and proclaiming himself to be God, it'll be the beginning of the worst 3.5 years ever known to man. In Revelation 15, it doesn't get any better, but it reveals the seven vile judgment. In chapter 16 of Revelation, we'll see them poured out. We'll see the great judgments fall upon men. But listen how crazy this is. Listen to how blind Satan makes people. Listen to how obtrusively sad this is. The Bible said in verse 11 of Revelation 16, and it says, "And they blaspheme the God of heaven because of their pains, their sores." And watch this. "And they repented not of their deeds." I'll tell you, friend, listen, how the church is salt and light, and the worst is yet to come. Oh, you know what I'd do, sir? You know what I'd do, ma'am? If I were you, I'd flee. Bless God. I'd flee. Listen, from the wrath to come. Paul was writing his first epistle to the church of Thessalonica. And he said this. He said in verse 9, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had into you." Now watch this. "And how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus." Now watch this. "Which delivered us from the wrath to come." Hey, this is a great invitation. There's great wrath coming. There's great judgment coming. I've not not done it justice. I've ran through this, listen, I like a calf running through a new field. I've ran through scriptures that demand more time, more consideration. This whole message demands more explanation that I've got time right now to give it. But I'll tell you, I believe enough has been said because you realize the worst is yet to come. But here's the good news. Here's the great news. It's a great invitation. You can be delivered today. Right now, sir. Right now, ma'am. You can be saved if you repent of your sin. If you trust Christ as your Savior. If you turn to Him and say, God, I'm a sinner. I believe Christ died for me. And Lord, the best how I know how, I'm going to receive Him as my Savior. God, I repent of my sin. And by faith, trust Christ as my Savior. You know what God will do? If you'll pray that and mean it, God will save you. The Bible said, whosoever's called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You mean business with God? God will do business with you. If you'll come to Him right now, sir. If you'll come to Him right now, ma'am, He'll save you. Oh, the worst is yet to come. There's going to be dark days. There's going to be hell on earth. It'll break loose. It'll be tribulation. It'll be death. It'll be disease. It'll be damnation. It'll be destruction under a mighty, mighty hand. And oh, I beg of you, I plead of you, run to Jesus right now. Turn from the wrath to come. Heed this watchman's warning. Be saved today. That's my prayer.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.